Earlier this week, I watched a video on the BBC website about a Greek woman called Mama Maria. I thought that was quite fun, given the current film that's out of a similar name. But Mama Maria lives on the island of Samos. And when refugees started arriving on Samos several years ago, Maria and her husband decided that they would use their restaurant to feed those refugees. They estimate that they fed 20, perhaps even 30,000 people. And Maria said, even though they were constantly busy, that she never seemed to get tired because doing that filled her with life. Unfortunately, Maria received anonymous phone calls threatening to hurt her if she didn't stop feeding refugees. So she and her husband took the very hard decision to close their taverna. And when I watched her on the video, I could see she was struggling to hold back the tears. But Maria didn't allow that opposition to stop her from helping other people. Instead, she opened her home, and she invited people to come and eat with her and her family there. And Mama Maria says that she has never turned anyone away. She's even given the refugees a large section of her garden so that they can plant fruit and vegetables and cultivate them, and those are the things that she then uses to feed people on a daily basis. In spite of the opposition that she's faced, Maria says that she will never stop. Even if they have nothing to give, they will still give love. I found it a very moving and heartwarming story, and I have to confess that I sat at my desk and had to wipe away the tears having watched it. And at the same time, I found it incredibly disheartening to know that someone like that has faced threats of violence against them. I think I probably understand why that's happened, but still my heart sinks that when someone sets out to do so much good, that someone else would seek to oppose them. And we live in a world where people are capable of great good, but where that good is often opposed or undermined or even stamped out. We see it all the time. Just a few months ago, I remember walking through Manor House Gardens and seeing that the community flower bed there had been vandalised. And then we've seen it on the global stage, where in the USA they've sought to dismantle Obamacare and take much-needed healthcare from the most vulnerable people. Why is the world like that? Why do people do that? And what are we supposed to do in response? Well, today's reading from Ephesians recognises that tension or that struggle between those who seek to do good and to live for God and those who oppose it. And in this reading, Paul tries to explain the root of that opposition. This is what he says. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. And what Paul seems to be saying is that behind that opposition lies evil. And Paul calls that evil the devil. Now, I don't want to waste time discussing whether or not the devil exists, because actually I'm not entirely sure. But what I am sure about is that evil is part of our world. Because I see it every day. I see it every day when I open the newspaper. I see it every day when I switch on the news or have the radio on. I see it every day when I walk outside the front door. And the New Testament writers personify evil and they give it a name. They call evil the devil. Much like we might talk about Mother Earth. Is there such a thing as Mother Earth? Who knows? Well, but it's a way of capturing the spirit of the planet. We also talk about Britannia. That's the female personification of Great Britain. We even talk about the Holy Spirit in a similar way. So Paul says, our struggle isn't against flesh and blood. It isn't against the people as such who threaten Mama Maria, but it's against the evil that works in them and the evil that works through them. And in the same way, he says that evil corrupts rulers and authorities. That doesn't make governments and politicians intrinsically wrong. It means that organizations are just as susceptible to evil and corruption as individuals are. Or to put it another way, using the phrase that some of us may know, one bad apple spoils the barrel. All it takes is for one rotten apple to cause all of the others that are stored with it to go bad. That's, I guess, in essence, what Paul is saying here. There is something rotten in our world, and it has the power to spoil everything. It has the power to spoil every aspect of life. When we as Christians encounter that evil, whether that's directly, when we feel as if we are in the firing line, when we feel as if we seem to be under attack, or whether that's indirectly, like when we watch the news and when we wonder how it is we can live in a world where these things are allowed to happen. But being part of a world where evil is present and at work can shake our faith. It can cause us to doubt, to ask questions. It can be frightening. It can be exhausting if you yourself feel like I'm constantly battling against things that are opposing me. It can make you want to give up on God as well, because at times we can feel as if we're fighting a losing battle. The Old Testament is full of those stories. You open the Psalms, the psalmists are constantly saying, Lord, how is it that the evil triumph and those who seek to do good are struggling? It's an age-old question. But Paul understands that life feels like that, which is why he uses the image of armor to explain how we can withstand evil. And I notice when I read this passage this week that it's not a passage that uses victorious language. It's not saying, don't worry, we're going to triumph over evil. Evil doesn't matter. Actually, the language is much more muted because Paul urges us to stand firm and says that we can withstand. I think it's much more realistic and grounded language, and I find that quite helpful. But what he's saying is, you know, we're in a battle, but it's not a losing battle. Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power, he says. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. Life's a battle. Faith comes under fire. So here's what you need to do. And then Paul uses the image of armor, which, of course, to those readers was probably familiar because they were in settings where they were occupied by the Roman forces. So they know what it means to see a soldier going into battle. And he uses that image to tell his fellow Christians what matters most, what they need to hold on to when they feel as if they're facing opposition. Now, I was reflecting this week, what's a contemporary image of armor? And I came up with packing for a summer holiday in the UK. Because if you go on holiday in the UK, then you need to be ready for anything, like last weekend, 32 degree heat and blazing sunshine, or this Friday, torrential rain. So here's my list of, not the armour of God, but the sensible clothing for the weather of God. And this is where I may need a volunteer. This is somebody who doesn't mind dressing up and looking a bit daft. Any volunteers? Omi, would you like to volunteer? Brilliant. Do you want to come and stand at the front? Jonah, I think we can work you in as well. Because Paul lists all these different bits of armor, and I think what I want to get at is what's the overall message? So come and stand on the top step. First of all, I think he gives them the sunglasses of truth. Jonah, why don't you put those on? Do you want to face the congregation so they can see you? Omi, then he gives us the raincoat of righteousness. Perfect. What have I got next? Then the, I've got to go back and check my list. The sun cream of salvation. Right, let's just give you a spray. Perfect, there we go, if you'd like to hold on to that. And then what else does he ask them to put on? The umbrella of faith. Sorry, those of you who are superstitious. There you go. Perfect.
I can't hold it properly.
The sleeves are so long. It's a design flaw, isn't it? You're doing a marvellous job. Now, what I notice about all of these four things is that they are protective clothing. Whether it's for rain or whether it's for sun, they're about protecting us and keeping us safe and ensuring that we can be outside whatever the weather, that we're appropriately ready for it. But Paul also mentions two other things. He mentions the wellies of the gospel, or as I like to think of it, the shoes of good news. This has got to be done, Jonah. They're way too big. Yeah. Now, are you safe or are you going to fall over? Shall I lift you out again?
Yeah, I think.
Lift you out. Tell you what, let's put you on your bottom. And then last of all, this is the most important one, the water pistol of the Spirit. If I take this back, you might need your hands for this. Yeah, so it's the sword of the Spirit, but I thought water pistol of the Spirit. If you want to press the blue button there and aim it at Nick. Good shot! Right, fantastic. You got yourself a bit wet. Tell you what, should we put it all down here? Lovely. What I notice about the wellies and the water pistol is they're things that I think are for taking on the weather. Because actually, if you've got your wellies on, if it's raining, you can go out and jump in puddles. And if it's sunny, you can go out and fire a water pistol and have a fantastic water fight and get soaking wet. So we had some of our clothing was about protecting us so that we were ready to cope with the elements, and some of it was about taking the weather on so that we were ready to go out there and still be able to live life, whatever the weather. Right, do you two want to go back to your seats?
Yeah.
I don't know what we're going to do with you, Jonah. I'm just going to lift you down. It's his sandal stuck in the bottom.
Yeah, I think.
What I'm going to do is I'm going to return him. There you go. We're going to return him to Rachel. Good job. Well done. You could spend a whole sermon sort of looking at all the little different bits in detail, the helmet of salvation, the belt of truth, what do they all mean? I don't think perhaps the detail of it is so important. I think the point is there's no such thing as bad weather. There is only bad clothing, which is the way of saying as long as you use the right things, you can withstand anything. That's the point of the armour analogy, isn't it? You can go into battle as long as you've got the right stuff on. And I think, as I say, I'm not concerned so much with the detail of what each piece means, but I think what Paul's saying is if you know who God is, if you know why Jesus came and why he died, and if you know who you are now that you are a Christian, then you will be equipped when life feels like a battle. So if you know who God is, if you know why Jesus died, if you know who you are in the light of those things, you will have what you need to withstand evil, to cope when hard things come along. And then Paul's got a final piece of advice as well. He says that we should pray. Pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests, praying for all the Lord's people. Now, if you've ever been through one of those times in life where you feel under attack, then you probably know that those can be the times when it is hardest to pray. When actually we run out of words, we're like, Lord, I just don't know what to say. But as I read Paul's charge to pray for one another, it makes me think of the Roman army. When the Roman army were under attack, what did they do? Those of you who've watched horrible histories. Anybody know? What did the Roman army do? What did they form? Go on, Roz. Shields all together. Anybody know what that formation was called? Tortoise. Exactly right. You put their shields up, so right in front of them they'd have all the shields. Shields would go over the heads, shields at the side, so they were protected on every side. If I tried to protect myself as one person with a shield, I could cover the front of me, but my head would be vulnerable, my back would be vulnerable. But when they come together, when they put their shields up together, they're protected on every side. Together they were much stronger at withstanding attack. And that's what it's like for us. Elsewhere in the New Testament, Paul says that if one part of the church suffers, every part of the church suffers with it. If one of us is under attack in any way, we all share in that pain. So how do we respond if someone is feeling that they're facing opposition? We pray for each other. Together we can shield one another and help one another to withstand attack. So don't be afraid to ask for prayer. To put your name on the prayer board, to ask somebody who's here this morning, could you say a prayer for me? Don't be afraid to offer to pray for someone or to offer to pray with them then and there for that strength so that they can face what they have to face when they go out the door. There is a great deal of good in the world. There are lots of people like Mama Maria, and most of them never have a video made about them put on the BBC website. But there is also a lot of bad news as well, and a daily reminder that evil is part of our world. And Paul's central message is that even as Christians, we will still feel under attack, but we can withstand that attack if we hold on to God and if we hold on to one another. Amen.